All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual who's got an intriguing fight going at One Bad Blood. It transpires on February the 11th. It's a heavyweight fight. Hugo Cunha getting out there and taking on Dustin Johnson in the one circle, and always fun to be chopping it up with Dustin and having him on the show again. How's your night going so far there, man?
It's going good. A little tired. Trained all day. Worked all day as well, so now I'm just kind of relaxing now in the evening. How about you?
No, I'm doing pretty well. Just doing a couple interviews and things of that nature. So usual kind of stuff on my end. But I got to ask about the last Singapore trip there at the very least. Like, was it at least better than the dreaded initial trek there? I know that first go around didn't go so well for you. Was the last one all right?
It was better. It's still hard being there. It kind of gave me like PTSD. Like when I landed, you're still trapped inside the hotel, but at least I was only there for about 9-10 days instead of a month. And I did have access to the pool, to the gym and whatever else. I could order my own food, but it does suck being locked out of the city. Like the biggest thing I love about fighting is like traveling city to city and then getting to explore as I'm there.
And it was just like Uber.
That has not happened.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that landscape is going to look like going forward. Because, I mean, in Singapore, it seems like they're trending more towards like events where like fans are in attendance. So like one would think things are freed up a little bit more, at least in a relative sense. Like, do you know what that's going to look like this next time coming through here? Like, will there be that chance to kind of do certain touristy stuff, or still pretty locked down?
I'm getting so tired of the pandemic. It is driving me nuts. I don't know. It's like, I don't want to get into a debate on the pandemic because everyone has their views on it. But,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, Jesus.
Yeah, well, hopefully that one champion.
I hope I can explore. Let's just say that. I'm tired of being stuck in a hotel.
Yeah, or like a one championship show in the United States. I mean, that'd probably provide the traveling around touristy kind of stuff a little bit more so, and seem to be targeting that move.
I mean, they've talked about it. I've heard talks of it. And obviously, if it does go to North America, I would gladly love to fight there. I mean, like, Singapore is nice, but people don't realize how long a flight that is, especially when you're 6'5", and they put you in economy, and, like, my legs are just getting crushed.
Yeah, doesn't it take, like, a full day to get there?
It's, so I fly out of Vancouver. It's 9.5 hours to Tokyo because there's no direct flights, and then it's another 7.5 hours from Tokyo, and it's usually a 4-hour layover when you're in Tokyo.
Oh no.
So it's a long travel. It was getting in around midnight in Singapore and you're exhausted.
You do anything on the flights to kill time? Like, I mean, that's a fair bit of time to, well, I mean, I guess not to use the phrase kill time, but like, what do you do to occupy that sort of space when you're up there for that long?
It is definitely hard. Like, I try to, for one, bring food because airplane food, there's never enough. They don't give you much. Especially, like I said, heavyweight, so I'm not like the equal. I'm not average size, so I do eat a bit more. Not much, man. I did actually buy a Nintendo Switch Lite for this trip.
Oh, there you go.
I got the game, the Zelda Breath of the Wild. I haven't even started playing it yet. I'm just waiting for the flights. I'm like, all right. That way I'll have something to do. And if I do get locked down in the hotels, I'll have something to play.
Well, that's awesome. I feel like that'll... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that'll be a game changer. Like, are you curating the game selection solely, or is your son putting in some suggestions too? I know he's into that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, he loves all the Switch games, but I don't know, he plays more, he does love all the Zelda games, but he still plays a lot of, like, the Minecraft and Terraria type games, like the simple games. Like, I think it's just his group of friends all agree on that game, so that's the majority of what he plays. But for me, you know, I've always been huge into Zelda. I will play the Marios. I don't really care much for them, but I am interested to play them, the new ones at least.
yeah, no doubt. Those are classics for sure. Definitely endure the test of time in a lot of ways. But yeah, I wanted to briefly touch on the last experience there, just the last go around. I mean, obviously not the ideal outcome in the winner-loser binary, as it were, but it seemed like you got a, you know, great experience out of it in a lot of regards. And I imagine there was probably even a bit of relief just getting back out there and competing just after so many start and stop bout cancellations.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was my first loss, and I should have known what to expect. I mean, the guy, I didn't realize he was like a gold medalist in wrestling. I just thought he like did some whatever. And then I heard that he was also like the coach for the Belarus wrestling team in his country. So my God, that's great. But yeah, he did what he was trying to do. He took me down in the first. It was hard to, he was strong. I fought it a bunch. I got up a few times, but he kept, he was pretty relentless with it. But when we were on the ground, I kept, I don't know, I was having these weird thoughts because I know the rules in one are different. Like, you can need a face.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I would just roll up to my knees and try to get up, but I'm like, man, I do not want to roll to my knees and get stuck in the position. And I kept thinking of that stuff. And like, it was kind of, maybe it was messing with me, or maybe I was overthinking it. So I kind of tried to do what I could, just not take damage on the ground and like, whatever, thought maybe they'd stand us up because not a lot happened. But, you know, I made it through that round. He did catch me with, and that was the thing, because his wrestling, going into the second round, I was a bit hesitant to get close to him because I didn't want him to grab me again. And then he did catch me with a right. That kind of, you know, rocked me a bit. But at the same time, I wasn't, like, out of it. And I was backing up because normally I clinch onto guys, but I know he's, a, like, a medalist in Greco-Roman wrestling. So I'm like, I don't want to clinch with him because he'll probably put me on my ass again. So I was trying to think what I should do at the same time, trying to, like, you know, dodge my, move my head and dodge punches. Eventually I snapped back into it, and things picked up. From there, I was kind of like, you know, I knew I was down, so I had to just go for it, and I did. I put a beating on him in the third one, like made him run away from me, and you could see it was gas. My cardio still felt great. I was trying to finish him, but, you know, it's a fight game, whatever. I'm happy with how things turned out in the end of the fight because I was able to show that, you know, I can come back and I can be dominant as well.
You know, I think that's just it. Like, I think even though, like, I phrased it in the way it's like not in the ideal outcome of the winner loser binary, but I feel like you got more out of it than it was like a detriment to you. Like, I feel like anecdotally most of the comments I was seeing were people being excited at this new heavyweight being in the division, and obviously like the skills you were able to showcase there and stuff like that. So is that like a sentiment you kind of felt as well, just people I guess being excited at this new one heavyweight on the scene? Because I felt like it wasn't, yeah, a setback at all, really.
Not so much for other people, but I know for myself, I remember when the first round was over and I was getting up, I was thinking to myself, man, that was embarrassing. Everyone just saw that. I always think, I don't know why I think of that stuff. I'm like, I like in the middle of the fight, like, I'll think of things like that. I'm like, man, people just saw that thing. Like, I'm like, don't get knocked. I remember when he hit me too, and he's like coming at me. I'm in my head, I'm like, okay, don't get knocked out here. Just keep moving, keep dodging. I'm like, wait for him to stop punching and then make your move. But he like blew his whole load on trying to, you know, knock me out in that second round, which was kind of good, I guess, because, you know, he wasn't really tagging me with anything. He'd hit me with every few shots or might slip one in, but like I'm still rolling and moving with it, so he's not getting much off it. You know, but at least I showed I can take a punch.
Well, I mean, I thought you turned the momentum around in the later points of the fight, but yeah, I get what you're saying there, just being a little silly about it. But I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing you were talking about there, just in that period on the ground where you're almost like thinking about, oh, I can't get stuck in this position, like the grounded knees and stuff like that. Like, I've talked to Buchecha, and he was saying that he's not really, you know, in great abundance in terms of, like, the sparring partners that also fight in one championship. So maybe not as much of the drilling of the rule set. Like, is that something that's hard to integrate into the training, being that, like, you're not in proximity to other people fighting for the promotion? Is that first fight a revelatory experience?
It's funny. We were doing our drilling today, and I was doing wrestling, and my coach, and I'm putting on the cage, I'm putting him on the wall. He's like, throw punches. And like, I'm like, don't forget, man. Like, I threw a few knees to the pass of the head. I'm like, I can still knee to the face, remember? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, we all kind of forget about that. Everyone that I train with, you know, we all fight North America mostly, so it's like, that's not a big rule set, so it's kind of hard to put that into your training. So it's one thing I need to really try and focus on.
Yeah, like, are there people you have at the fitness academy that will go in, I guess, sparring context with you, in the sense of, like, you're drilling the global rule set specifically? Is that something you've curated into your camp, or not so much?
It's not something I've really drilled into specifically. You know, I just kind of need to keep in mind that I can do these things and maybe have a corner yell it out if I'm in position for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, to that point, who will be in the corner for this next one?
My wife, because everyone else couldn't make it.
Oh, okay. Has this happened before?
Nope. She's never cornered me. She doesn't do any martial arts, you know. During the pandemic, when everything was on lockdown for 2 weeks, she did hold pads for me once in the basement. So, you know, watch out.
Was that inspired?
It's pretty funny. I'm like, you know, half of my team's not vaccinated because I don't know why. And I don't want to get into that.
Like, I was going to say, yeah, like, the pandemic thing before, like, everyone has their own opinions. Better to just, yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, the other half that are, you know, everyone said they'd be there, and then last minute, like, oh, I can't go. And then, like, you know, I heard that a few times, so I had nobody. So, like, I'm like, well, babe, I'm like, I got nobody. I'm like, you want to corner me? And, you know, she's, of course she will. Like, you know, trip with me to Singapore, you know, hang out in the hotel, eat some food. Hopefully, with any luck, be allowed out in the city, but, you know, I'm not holding my breath. But it'd be a good trip. And, like, she's always been good with calming my nerves. And I remember when I fought Machado for the BFL title, she hung out in my hotel. She hung out backstage with me all the way up until we walked out. She even walked out. She just sat cage size. But having her there, I remember, like, just being pretty calm for the most part. Like, my nerves obviously go up, but she's good about calming me down. And yeah, especially the last fight, like, I was pretty nervous going into that one. I'm always pretty nervous going into any fight, but, you know, big stage, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably a great presence. That's probably a great presence in the corner, though. Like, you're talking about the calming sort of, you know, influence there. Like, it seems like you're very analytical in a lot of different regards, like thinking about a lot of different details and stuff like that, and making jokes about some of those aspects there. So maybe that's, like, a, you know, great presence in the corner, like, just, like, less spinning your wheels thinking about, like, 18 things and just, yeah.
It worked for Mike Perry, right? So.
Well, I was going to ask if that inspired you a little bit, the whole, yeah.
My friend cornered him, so I'm having my wife, you know, just different leagues, but same scenario. I'm like, I told her, I'm like, you know, if you see me dropping my hands, just yell out, put your hands up, and if you see me not, you know, doing anything or being very active, I'm like, say, just yell out something, like, make it happen, like do something or whatever, you know, let's work, let's do something. That's all I told her to do. I'm like, I don't need you to say anything else. I know how to fight. It's not new to me. You know what I mean? So I know what I'm looking for. And if we hit the ground, she's going to have no clue what to yell out. So
watch out for the grounded knees. That'll yeah. Yeah, but the last time we were talking, it was funny, you were talking about how, just, you know, with the two undefeated heavyweights going at it, like, there was a bit of an emotional quandary almost. Like, it's like, ah, damn, I don't really want to, you know, give somebody their first loss. It's kind of like, ah, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, man. You're kind of in another situation like that. Like, are you feeling that same kind of vibe a little bit? Like, ah, sorry, man. A little awkward.
This time, I'm hoping I give him his damn first loss. I already had mine. He gets to feel what it's like to have your first loss and won.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm kind of curious, like, have you, I guess, checked out some of the recent tape on your opponent, Hugo Cunha, there and everything? Like, what are your...
Like, he's, you know, he seems pretty well-rounded. like kick whatever kickboxer. He's a tall dude. I think he's like my height or maybe like an inch shorter. I think he's 6'4". I'm 6'5". From what I've seen, it's nothing like I've never dealt with before. I've, you know, Machado was a kickboxer, had 17 pro Thai fights or whatever. So, and he was southpaw. I didn't even know that going into that fight. But, you know, it's just another fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I know your thoughts on this, but just thought to posit it anyway, just because it's a bit of a topical kind of thing with, you know, Kirill Grishenko getting out there for the interim title fight with Anatoly Malykin in there. Like, what are your thoughts on, I guess it's a bit of a two-part question, like, what are your thoughts on the interim title fight in and of itself, but also, like, does that, I guess, galvanize your feeling about the whole thing? Because, I mean, it looks like you're at a good place in the division.
Obviously, I hope he wins. It's kind of heartbreaking to know that there's probably a chance that that would have been me had I won fighting for the belt. As for the interim belt itself, I don't know. I kind of figured Arjan probably wasn't going to want to defend it to begin with. I still don't think he will. Who knows? We'll see. I know he was like contract disputes. Basically, he just wants more money. That's what it always is. But yeah, whatever. I mean, it makes for an exciting fight, and people love the belt, and people want shiny new things, so I would have done it if they would ask. I'm hoping that he wins, and I win, and then we can rematch. And that way, and if Arjan doesn't want to fight, and they keep that interim belt going a little longer, I'll fight him for the interim belt, too.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bring up the heartache with the Grishenko thing. I guess I mentioned it in the context of, you know, presumably one sees you at, like, a very high level in the heavyweight hierarchy, so, you know, an emphatic win right here, probably right in the mix.
That's kind of cool, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't have looked at myself like that just because, I don't know, to me, like, who am I? I'm just some guy that trains the Victoria in a basement, so, like, I don't really have any high credentials to my name. I don't feel I do anyways. So to be even thought of in that sense was kind of awesome. I've also heard talks of, like, Buchecha like calling me out or saying I'm on his list of people he wants to fight, and I'm like, why? Like, I'm like, it's kind of funny. I'm like, this guy has got millions of followers, and like, every no one knows who I am, but at least he knows who I am. You know what I mean? Like, while everyone's thinking of him, he's thinking of me, and that's kind of nice.
I just love the
way you can look at it. I'm like, I don't know. Sure.
I think that's one of the things that, I mean, it seems like it's already endeared yourself to the ONE Championship fans, but probably even more going forward. Just that whole demeanor there, I find so humorous. Like, obviously, you're a, I mean, I guess this is an outsider perspective thing, but it's like you're a demonstrably talented heavyweight, I think, and then you have other people kind of noticing that, but you're just kind of like, what? Who? Me? It'd be funny for like a countdown package or something like that. Like, someone does the big call out and you're like, ah, what? Me? Okay, sure.
It's also hard because I don't have like, I try to be active on social media, but I'm not huge on it. Like, I don't have a lot of followers. I also think that's due to ONE not promoting their people well enough. Like, they might post something, like the fight card. They'll post me in it, but they won't tag me in it. They'll just post me in it. They might mention it in the description, but most people, when they see a photo of someone, they want to, like, click on the photo and then go to the tags of it, whatever. UFC was always pretty good about that. Like, the Contender Series thing, I got quite a few followers from just them posting just nothing from me for that. But they always tagging and stuff. But whatever, like I said, I don't even care. I did get my blue verification check mark, and that was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember being at the arena before my fight and just fighting and then going home and checking my Instagram, and my buddy's like, my corner at the time is like, just dude, you got your blue check mark. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, I don't know, it's kind of funny. It's just like, oh yeah, now let's get me a Wikipedia page.
Just get some Fugazi information in there, just a little bit of misdirection in the Wikipedia. But I feel like you talk about the lack of activity on social media. I feel like when you do post, though, it's usually like a really good one. Like when you had that, you know, guy in the leather trench coat that was like lurking around, I was like, what the hell? One of the more memorable videos for fighters I saw.
Some memorable ones for sure. I try not to post whatever. It's just everyone posts the same photos, and I try not to get into that where it's like team photo, gym team photo, gym team photo. It's like, ugh, we do so many of those. So now I just start posting them in my stories. I'm like, I don't want to put that on my like actual, you know, thing, but I probably will because I haven't posted anything in a while.
It seems like the family range day kind of content is pretty popular. Like, have you been going to the gun range? Sorry?
I actually just went last weekend, and I got some new holsters for my guns, and I tried them out, and they were pretty awesome. I feel like every time I post gun stuff, that thing blows up. Like, there's a lot of rednecks out there.
How long have you been doing that for, like, the shooting range, gun range kind of stuff? How long has that been a part of your life there?
Probably about 8 years, I think. My grandpa died, and when he did, I inherited his rifle. And I didn't even know you could buy guns in the city I lived in. Like, I didn't know that was a real thing. And then I was like, oh, like, he died, he didn't get your gun license. So I went to a place, and they, like, I got it. And then since getting it, I found there was, like, tons of gun stores in my city. And, like, it's kind of cool. I like shooting. I like whatever. I have a good safe at home, so not worry about anyone breaking in or nothing. I mean, like, to steal it, because obviously if someone were to break in for me to use my gun stuff, it'd take me like 20 minutes to get my stuff ready.
Yeah.
It's like there's so many laws. You have to keep everything, ammo locked separately, guns like 2-3 different locks on it, and those are locked separately apart from your ammo. There's a lot to it, so there's no way you could ever get your guns out in time unless you already had that stuff on standby.
Yeah, just try to bide time getting the intruder to wait. It's coming for you, son of a bitch. I'm going to drop the hammer on you real soon.
Yeah, no, it would take way too long.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But yeah, good, you're following all the rules and stuff like that, so you can at least hold on to it and all that there. But
shooting's fun. I just like target shooting. I like handguns, too. I don't know why. Just because, I don't know, movies.
Yeah, probably like
I've customized a few, so kind of got into that.
Yeah, probably just like that era and stuff like that, like GoldenEye and stuff like that. Like maybe it's like rubbed off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I became a bit of a redneck myself, but I do notice when I post shooting range stuff that like it's pretty popular, more so than my MMA stuff. And that's always kind of funny too. It's like, post gun stuff, you get a lot of likes. I post some MMA stuff, you know, I get a decent amount. I post a selfie of myself just at the park or something. It's like, nothing. It's like, oh, well, I know what you guys want to see. Just some family stuff. 20 likes. All right. Thanks, Auntie. You know, she's always liking my stuff.
Yeah, the real ones holding it down just start integrating guns into various pictures. Like you're just at like a park or something like that. Just like. But yeah, we're talking about like different like, you know, throwback stuff there. I kind of gave a bit of an allusion to GoldenEye there. I gotta ask you, are you going to be coming out to My Time, the 2000 Triple H theme song, Into the Circle here?
I haven't really thought too much of it, but I was kind of thinking of coming out to Glass Shatters by Disturbed. It's like the Stone Cold Steve Austin remake.
Oh yeah.
When I made my pro debut and my amateur debut, I came out to that song. So maybe it'll put me in the mood. It usually gets me pretty pumped up. Hey, it's all a show anyways. I was kind of talking that like with my team today. They're watching the old Anderson Silva and like Wanderlei Silva, and he's looking all crazy, like an axe murderer, like they call him, and he's looking psycho and stuff. And then there's like Melvin Manhoef or whatever. He's got the collar around his neck, and he's like, you know, his coach lets him go, and he's like, they look terrifying, but it's like it's a show in a good sense because when I'm waiting backstage, I'm backstage for hours. And you know how hard that would be to keep that kind of adrenaline going?
Oh, Lord.
For me, I'm usually, like, oh my God, I'm next. Getting on standby. I'm waiting there. They're like, your music's going to hit in like 5 seconds. They hit. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then like, as soon as I walk out, I'm like, let's go. Like, I was like yelling at the camera and like just trying to act all like, you know, act like you belong. That's what I keep telling myself. You belong here. Just act like it. I'm not like a violent person by nature, so it's hard to get into it. That's why I'm kind of slow when I fight. Like sometimes I wish I was, and I wish I could come out a bit quicker. But usually when things start getting heavy and things start throwing down, I usually get more into it, and then I usually come out pretty well. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be a very intriguing sophomore effort in the circle here. And always great getting to talk to you, man. But I want to, you know, be mindful of your time and everything, too. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, Dustin?
Yeah. Thank you to my sponsors, Spitfire Grill and Universal Supplements and JRP Cement Finishing, and my team, TFA Management, Dodge Management, and Hood Ridge Jiu-Jitsu. And thank you for having me on here.